In nature, a wildfire is one of the most devastating natural forces. It burns hot and fast and leaves little behind but ash and char. Or so it seems. Very soon after the fire passes through the forest, life returns. Shrubs and weeds that clogged the forest floor have burned away, leaving space for new trees, grasses, and flowers to emerge and flourish. Habitats are created, bringing new insects, birds, reptiles, and mammals. A cancer diagnosis can feel like a wildfire, our bodies becoming this new, fire-clarified landscape. For some, cancer changes utterly everything. For others, cancer brings greater clarity and purpose. And some of us are still searching for what life after a cancer diagnosis will look like. Welcome to The Burn. We are exploring stories of life and transformation following a breast cancer diagnosis. I'm April Stearns, the founder and editor of Wildfire Magazine and the host of this podcast. Today, we're going to hear a vulnerable piece in which the author shares hard truths about her experience with metastatic breast cancer and how she's learned to be fearless by living in the moment. My guest today is Kelly Franks. In early adolescence, Kelly developed a deep sense of wanderlust that continues to grow each year of her life. She loves going on adventures of any kind, from visiting U.S. national parks with her family, 40 so far, maybe more actually, to hiking on local trails. It's in these moments that Kelly feels most alive and present with the people that she loves. When she's not exploring, Kelly spends her free time doing yoga, reading, drinking tea, going to concerts with family and friends, and trying hard to find travel Kelly joy in everyday moments. Kelly lives in Oxford, Ohio with her husband and her teen children. She's a social worker who was diagnosed at age 36 with stage 2B, invasive ductal carcinoma, and then stage 4, MBC, at the age of 41. Her cancer is hormone positive. Hey, Kelly, welcome to The Burn.
Hi, April. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So this is your second time here, in case anyone is thinking you sound familiar. I'm so happy to have you back. And today you're reading a piece called Fearless that we published in the 2023 MBC issue that had the theme Lessons Learned. After you read, we'll chat. Those of you listening, stay tuned to the very end for a writing prompt inspired by today's conversation. Okay, Kelly, I'll let you take it away.
Okay. Thank you.
Fearless. By Kelly Franks. My husband pulled the car up to the curb at the handicap drop-off point outside the professional football stadium in Cincinnati. I gingerly stepped out of the car while he unfolded the aluminum walker from the trunk and brought it around to my door. Our 17-year-old daughter and her friend, along with my friend, hopped out of the car holding clear tote bags and sealed water bottles, their sequins sparkling in the late afternoon sunlight. We had arrived to see Taylor Swift on her Eras tour after months of anticipation and excitement. Earlier in the week, on Monday, between early morning and late afternoon doctor appointments, I temporarily lost the ability to walk. I was alone, 2 hours away from home, and had been terrified. In excruciating pain, I hobbled into the final appointment from the parking lot, arriving at the front desk in full sobs, having just weighed the option of crawling on concrete the last 100 feet or so. "I need a wheelchair," I told the volunteer at the front desk. This was a request I had never had to make in 9 years of cancer appointments, and I was devastated. The volunteer jumped into action, and I was wheeled back to imaging for the long-ago scheduled brain MRI I didn't want to miss. I cried through the entirety of the visit, from the concerned looks of others in the waiting room to asking the nurse for an adult diaper to wear on the 2-hour car ride home. When I arrived at our house, my 15-year-old son and my husband served as human crutches, one on each side, to help me in the house. Now it was Saturday, and the Taylor Swift show we had been dreaming of for months was finally here. Our era-themed outfits and friendship bracelets were complete. I was dressed as Fearless, my favorite album. I had spent the week researching the stadium's accessibility policies, trying multiple times to call and speak with a live human being unsuccessfully. I ultimately gave up and developed my own plans A, B, and C for how to get into the stadium, navigate the concert, enjoy myself, and get out of the stadium. My best friend and sidekick for the show is not a stranger to NBC. 3 years ago, she lost her mom to NBC after serving as her caregiver for many years. This dear friend often knows what kind of support and accommodations I need before I even know myself, and today was no different. With a backup cane in tow, her mom's, and my clear plastic bag slung over her shoulder, we slowly navigated the ramp into the stadium. It was hot and humid outside, and the bike shorts I was wearing under my dress to help protect the painful rash that had developed on my hip were making me feel especially warm. We paused by an Era sign in the lobby to snap pictures in our curated outfit. Much to our surprise, we learned that the tickets my husband had luckily booked for us on that fateful Ticketmaster debacle of a day were club-level seats. From the lobby, we rode escalators up to an air-conditioned lounge containing bathrooms, food, and a merchandise table right outside the door from our seats. When we entered the stadium, we discovered our row was located only one step down from the entryway, our seats only two seats away from the aisle. All of the worries I had been anticipating faded away as I realized the pieces had all magically come together and I could make this work. I could actually be present and relax and enjoy myself. Here's how living with NBC for years helped me that night. I didn't let cancer side effects keep me from missing out on something I wanted to experience with people I love. My family and friends didn't tell me not to go, but instead helped me brainstorm ideas to make it doable. When I told my daughter I'd have to take a walker, she suggested bedazzling it to match our outfits instead of feeling embarrassed by her mom needing a walker. For more than 3 hours, I laughed and cried and sang my heart out to music that had served as a soundtrack to milestone moments in my life. I watched my daughter experience intense joy during an especially difficult season for our family. I felt the power of tens of thousands of people of all ages and backgrounds coming together as a community. That night, fearless was more than just the theme of my outfit. It was my mantra. When Taylor sang, "I don't know how it gets better than this," I smiled through tears. It's been a hard summer with equal parts exhilarating highs and tear-filled lows. Our family traveled to Europe to reunite with several dear friends we have been missing terribly. My husband and I attended multiple concerts with our teenagers and their friends. I've experienced some painful and limiting side effects from yet another new treatment plan. I developed shingles and learned it was the culprit behind the hip rash and nerve pain that left me unable to walk that day. I spent a significant amount of time home alone while my family did normal summer things. At times, I felt lonely and resentful about this, but I also felt intense gratitude that because my kids are now independent teenagers, my health limitations did not cause them to miss out on summer fun. Their self-sufficiency allowed me to reserve strength and energy to experience intentional, joyful, meaningful events with family and friends. Living with NBC has created in me a desire to find gratitude and joy in as many moments as I can, never knowing if this might be the last moment of its kind. If there is a family trip or a favorite concert or a cross-country race for one of my kids or a beautiful morning for a hike, I don't want to miss a single moment of any of it. There is so much uncertainty in life with cancer that it feels empowering and energizing to have a hope or a dream and watch it come to life. At times, it feels like every day is Christmas, full of gifts and surprises surrounded by the people you love most. A recurring question running through my head these last several months has been, if this is the last time I do this thing, will I be satisfied with how it went? Of course, we all have lasts that we don't even know our last moments, like the last time our child wants to be rocked to sleep, or the last time we visit with an elderly relative. In these instances, there is no curating, no making sure, because the last time happens without us even realizing it. The grief comes weeks or even months later with no going back to make sure the moment was fully appreciated. Cancer makes every word, action, and movement feel intentional. There will still be regrets and moments out of my control and things I don't get to do, but experiencing life to the fullest will not be one of them. Our summer has come and gone. I am grateful to have been alive to experience every single moment of it, every exhilarating high and tear-filled low. It was rare. I was there. I remember it all too well.
That quote, of course, always makes me smile, but I love hearing you read your essay today, Kelly. Thank you so much. So beautiful. Okay, well, let's take a quick break here. We'll let you catch your breath and we'll hear a testimonial. And when we come back, we'll go behind the scenes with you.
Hey, this is April. Every week here on The Burn, I say there is no place on the planet like a wildfire writing workshop. And I want you to know that I mean that. I mean it from the deepest part of my core. And that's because there is no place where young people with breast cancer gather together and bear themselves on the page and then share it. Again and again, people tell me that they didn't even know how much they needed the writing workshop and the writing prompts until they came and they wrote. So have you dreamed about writing your own essay to submit to Wildfire? Maybe you have a piece of your cancer story that you want to share, but you need help getting started with it. Or maybe you just need time to be accountable, to show up weekly for yourself and for others in a community. Sign up for our Sparks class. You'll find it to be the safe place that you need to get your ideas sparking for your next essay, your next poem, or maybe just to do the healing that you need to do. Head to wildfirecommunity.org/workshops to sign up for the next one. I can't wait to write with you.
Hello, I'm Katie. I was diagnosed with lobular primary breast cancer, stage 2, estrogen positive, November 2019. Throughout my year and a half of treatments, I wrote in April's Wildfire workshops and have found the process completely transformative. I've written something now to try and capture in words how I see that process working. I can see my own words, where they come from now and where they're going. They're spirals endlessly going over and back, reaching forward. The movement I see is black ink, effortlessly moving into the future from the past. Sentences are salve to me now, salve to old hidden wounds, bringing them out into the open so they can appear on the page, be acknowledged, seen, and healed. I see this movement of ink and shapes going backwards and forwards through my life, soothing, opening, smoothing, leaving nothing unseen, because I'm wide enough and deep enough to soothe all my past hurts. I know that now. Thank you, April. Thank you, Wildfire.
All right. Thank you so much for the love, Katie. Always great to hear your voice. And welcome back to Kelly. Kelly, thank you again for reading your story fearless with us today.
Thanks. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. So catch us up. Where are you now as compared to when you wrote this essay?
I am so happy to share that I am so, so much better than I was when I wrote this essay. I had a period where I advanced through lines of treatment pretty quickly. But for more than 6 months, about 9 months now, I've been on a line of treatment that is working. And I've had multiple sets of good scans with no progression and shrinking tumors, and just overall, my body feels better. I can move again. I can do things again, and I have a lot more energy. And I just feel like I got this second chance. So things are very good right now.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. So you've been living with MBC, is it 5 years now?
in June, it will be 5 years.
Okay. Yeah. And I, you know, I was listening to you read your story and you're talking about lasts. And I'm wondering now that you're kind of looking back on this really rough summer that you had and have now come kind of to the other side where things are looking well, did that experience kind of change a little bit of what you thought a trajectory with MBC might look like? Or is there anything that you might share with someone else who is living with MBC now that you've learned from that?
Yeah. I mean, I think when I was first diagnosed, the statistics you get about MBC are so scary. And 5 years is a big date that stands out. And so I really honestly back then just never dreamed I would make it to 5 years. And now I feel like I'm approaching 5 years and I'm rounding the corner and I'm, you know, going to go for another five. And so, you know, that feels just really, really good. And I think that, you know, last summer was so scary and there were just so many things that I thought I wasn't going to get to experience. And so I actually, as I started to feel better, I kind of crammed my time, my, you know, now past, but I crammed about 6 months just with all kinds of fun things because I thought I'm doing this, you know, and filled that with my family, but also friends who have been on this journey with me for a long time who I knew in any circumstances would help me pull it off, even if by the time that event came, it wasn't going to be maybe how we envisioned it. And so, you know, I'm happy to say I've gotten to do almost all of those things that were planned. And I'm coming into this time actually where I don't have a lot of things scheduled on the horizon. And that is a new thing for me. I'm always planning ahead and thinking ahead and wondering what the next adventure is going to be. And so beyond spring break, not really having anything set in stone just feels odd. But as you know, my daughter is graduating from high school in a couple of months and going to college, and we're not exactly sure yet where she will be going to school. She's got some great options. And so we're all kind of in this holding pattern, just kind of waiting to see what she decides and what that means for the rest of us. So I'm just trying to be, you know, in the moment and just thinking about right now and this week and this month and spending these last few months of high school with her and just kind of like not feeling so impatient to know what is next. That is not my natural inclination. So it is definitely a challenge for me, but I feel like after the last few months and just continuing to feel better, I feel confident that I can safely do that. Which is a really awesome place to be. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, for many of us, you know, whether we have MBC or not, time is this, I don't know, relentless thing, you know, breathing down our backs. And I like that it feels like you've kind of flipped it a little bit and it feels like you're in charge of time right now in a way that feels a little different than maybe it's felt before. And I think, you know, putting all these wonderful things on your calendar and having something to look forward to is really important. But I like the way you're talking about this now. It feels almost like you have the luxury of time and just to let it kind of unfold a little bit without needing to control it quite as closely.
Yeah, that's the attitude I'm trying to have, that I have been in this frantic state for a while now. And, you know, rightfully so. And so the peace of mind that I have right now, just knowing at least, you know, that I have a few months that I can breathe easy. I mean, the reality of MBC is that every 3 months I have scans. And so I live life in kind of 3 month increments. And as soon as I get one cleared, then I'm like, okay, I can breathe for 3 months until the next one comes. And so, you know, I'm just trying to kind of embrace that and say, well, what are these 3 months going to bring? And, you know, how do I want to be here in this moment? Because also, you know, in a few months, my daughter's not going to live in our house year round anymore. And so even if it means just hanging out on the couch or, you know, talking with her about her day or, and with my son too, just the things that they've been up to, it's just being there with them for all these things, no matter what they are, big or small.
Right. Exactly. So I would imagine, and perhaps you've actually literally told me this before, but I would imagine seeing your children get through high school has probably been a really big, you know, thing on the calendar, on the horizon, a motivator. I don't know how to ask this exactly, but what do you shift your focus to? And does it feel a little untethered to have your daughter going off and to be meeting this milestone that has maybe been a kind of a grounder for you?
Yeah, it is uncertain. I mean, they were in first and third grade when I was diagnosed originally as 2B. And so, you know, more than half of their lives, I've had cancer and, you know, their whole childhoods pretty much. And so there has been this kind of like finish line of high school and seeing these things. And so now I'm like, we're here. And, you know, of course, my son is 2 years behind. So I have the same wish to, you know, experience his high school graduation with him as well. But, you know, I haven't really dared to think about their young adult life or what retirement, you know, might look like for myself and my husband. And, you know, because it's so uncertain. I don't know. And I also don't want to wish too hard for something that maybe won't happen. And so it's a weird place to be because those dreams are what keep you going, but they can also just be really painful. I feel like you and I talked about this recently, but like sometimes looking back at pictures, even just from a couple years ago, is really hard for me to do because I can see the physical changes in myself. And some of that's just aging, but some of that is also, I can tell from those moments, like this was before the diagnosis, or this was after that treatment failed, or this was when I was really having a hard time, you know, getting around. And so, you know, there are these happy moments, but they're, they have that tinge of, you know, NBC always there kind of lurking.
Right.
And so that can be really hard for me, but I'm so happy to have them at the same time. So I try to not look so much at myself and look and remember the moment or the experience that was going on there.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, so, okay, let's go back to the Eras Tour and this, like, I know, let's just live there, right? I just loved your story. And it sounds like you, this was a big surprise that your husband had managed to get these tickets that ended up being exactly the accommodation that you needed. Did he know that he had booked those?
I don't know. He's one of those lucky people who literally just wins every contest, every drawing, every whatever. So that's part of why I put him on concert ticket duty, because he tends to have better luck than other people. And so we kind of laughed later that he had grumbled about how it took him about 20 minutes to get tickets, which was longer than usual. And then we heard, you know, that day how people waited for hours and hours and hours and got kicked out and all these problems that didn't happen to him. So I think on some level he did know that, but I literally did not actually pull up the tickets till a couple hours before we were leaving. And I remember seeing like just something on there that I thought, are these club level tickets? And then, but when we got to the stadium and we were waiting to get in and we showed the ticket to someone, then they kind of directed us to this special entrance. And so, you know, it just felt a little bit like Willy Wonka, like taking the escalator up, and it's like this whole enclosed air conditioned space, and, you know, everything just had kind of fallen into place. And, you know, it was in this football stadium, which we're not football people. So like I had been there before, but not really. And so my brother-in-law is a huge football fan. And later I told him where we were, and he knew exactly what those tickets were, but, you know, it just hadn't come up. And so, it was just such a relief, to know that I could be comfortable because I was using the walker and I was worried about, you know, getting to the restroom and just having my inability to get around kind of temper the experience. And I just wanted it to be fun. So it was just such a relief. And my friend, Sarah, who was with me, I mean, I didn't even have to say the things to her. It was like we had the same expression as we walked in the door and saw where our seats were. We kind of looked at each other wide-eyed, like, how did this happen? But, you know, how wonderful to have it. So,
yeah. I love this idea that I forget what it's called. I think it's pronia. This like idea that the world, the universe is conspiring to make things better than you ever expected. And this is such an awesome example. And yeah. I mean, I couldn't possibly wish club level surprise tickets on anyone better than you to receive them. And it sounds like you needed a win after this summer that you are having.
Sure. Did. And that's what I was going to say. I just feel like there are so many things with NBC and just cancer in general that are so hard and so many hoops to jump through and just so many extra steps. And, you know, even when I travel, it's like half my suitcase is all these extra things that I need just in case. And so I'm just used to things being hard and having to really fight for it to be the way I want it to be. And so, you know, to have that fight kind of ready and then get to walk in and be like, oh my God, this is going to be easy. You know,
like
what a gift that was. And just what a relief, because everything that week had just been so incredibly hard and scary and, you know, anxiety filled. And so this was just all fun, really. Just got to all be fun.
That's fantastic. So I remember back to around the time of the issue, I think maybe a little bit more in the summer, but around the time of the call for submissions for this issue. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we were talking about it and you had kind of fallen into a writer's block period around kind of all of this stuff, you know, that you were experiencing. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, were you really trying to write, or did you know that it wasn't the right time for you to write?
Well, a lot of my writing comes out of walking and being outside and hiking and moving and having just a clear mind. And so, you know, with all of this that had been going on, I hadn't been able to get out, and you know, walking was painful. It was quite an effort. And so it wasn't like joyful. And so I had just really fallen into this funk, and spending so much time alone at home. Also, you'd think I would have been productive, like reading a bunch of books and all these things. And I was just really frozen. You know, I just couldn't do any of those things. It actually kind of reminded me of the beginning days of the pandemic, when, you know, people were just so distracted by what was happening that it was almost hard to do anything for pleasure. And so I had just been in this period where I wanted to write, or I thought about it, and I couldn't even organize my thoughts, really. I didn't even really know what I was feeling, to tell you the truth, to be able to even express that. And so, you know, then we went to the concert, and one night I sat down and I wrote like probably 90% of it just in one sitting. And then, you know, tweaked a few things, and I had my daughter read a couple of the drafts, like, what do you think about this? Or, you know, and then, you know, that sparked more ideas just conversing with her about it. So we had kind of our own little writer's workshop, if you will, a little fire starters with just the two of us, which was really lovely. Yes. And she's a writer too. And so, you know, that was really great. And it just kind of happened. And so I loved that, because it was like, finally I knew what I wanted to say, you know, and I could put all these things together into words and connect them coherently and, you know, reflectively in the way that I wanted to. So then I was able, you know, to kind of write some more after that. And I still go through periods now where it's not happening. But even just last week, doing some writing with the group, I was really shocked about the thing I sat down to write was not at all what I thought I was going to write, you know? And this whole thing came out that I didn't even know was in there. So that I love that, you know, I just feel like that I'm always processing it in my mind, but sometimes it just takes a little bit of filtering and reflecting and, you know, moving it around in my head a little bit to be able to really put it into the word to say something meaningful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, so much writing that we do happens away from, you know, the actual physical writing. Like you said, you know, writing on the trail as you're walking in your head or writing in the shower or whatever. But sometimes I think you just need time to pass, you know, and let some of the dust to settle a little bit. Like, we're too in the weeds to be able to even see our own story. And so I don't think, I don't know, writer's block is really, really frustrating, but I think sometimes it's also a protection. Like, you're not ready for that story yet, or that story is still unfolding, or there's more to know before we can face this story. And so I love that you got that confirmation, because when you did sit down to write it, it flowed. You know, had a little bit of distance, so you had some lessons you could pull out of it. And, you know, people always ask me, like, does my story have to be happy, or does it have to like end on a really upbeat note? And my feeling is that I want the wildfire stories to always be real life. But I also always think that the healing from writing the stories is in teasing out those lessons or finding, you know, how that story is kind of moving your experience of living through it. Was it hard for you to pull out those lessons, or were they just kind of popping like popcorn kernels at that point?
I mean, I feel like I see the lesson, you know, they presented themselves enough to me now after almost 5 years that I know they're there. Sometimes they're kind of hiding, and I have to be like, what is this lesson here? Because I know I've done these tough things, and, you know, how is this different from the other? And I think what's also, you know, great for me about this story is there were a lot of people close to me that really didn't know what had been going on. And part of that was that it was summer and, you know, people are away, but also that I had just been kind of holed up at home. And so actually writing this and sharing it with some friends and seeing things also kind of helped people say, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And, you know, we saw the pictures of you at the Eras tour, but we just had no idea what had to happen to get you there. You know, we just didn't know. And I think that's one of the hardest things about NBC in particular is, you know, most of the time I just look like a regular old person, you know, and you don't even know the things I'm struggling with. And so, that's where writing, I think, is really great, because it's a chance to tell people what is really happening and what that day-to-day life looks like and what those innermost thoughts are that maybe I'm not going to just say in a conversation if we pass each other on the street or at the grocery store, right? Because it's also, that's a hard thing, I think, of, you know, never knowing, like, how much do people really want to know? You know, do they want to know every day all the hard things? Or do they really just want like the summary? And, you know, sometimes it's hard to read that. Or when I'm just really in the depths of the hard, it's hard to talk about anything else or think of anything casual to talk about, because this is just all consuming. So,
yeah.
So I think it was the combination of getting to do something that felt like me. And that was fun. And that was a gift of ease that I hadn't had so much luck with lately, that just kind of helped it all be like, this is the way I want to do things, you know, despite this is this is how I want to live. These are the things I want to be doing. And even if it's a ton of work, it's still totally worth it.
Mm-hmm. Well, having attended the Heiress Tour myself, I also think that watching someone do their craft in such a big and beautiful way, like I just felt really inspired to be there. And I got to also do it with my daughter. And that was really important to me. But getting to witness someone kind of in their glory, it's hard not to be inspired to be creative, whether that's writing or baking or, you know, whatever in each individual's form of creativity is. So I think you got sprinkled with a little stardust that night too.
I think you're right, because, you know, when you think about tens of thousands of people repeating your own words back to you,
yes,
through tears, with emphatic hand gestures, you know, all the things, and thinking that these words that came from your heart and meant so much to you also land so deeply with someone else. I just, you know, that part was just so amazing. So you're right. I think maybe just the lyrics and the writing from the show also just kind of felt like magic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and not to make this whole thing about Taylor Swift, but, you know, one of the things she has done so well for so long is this confessional style writing. And so when you also get to see someone else telling stories in that way, and like you just said, it's, you know, a story that she experienced, she is sharing, and yet those universal themes resonate so deeply with each one of us. And it, you know, this line or this song takes on these legs and they impact us. I mean, that's why we write, you know,
right.
That's the goal. And so, yeah, it's really cool that you got to experience that for all the reasons.
Yes. For so many reasons.
Yeah. Oh, Kelly, I wish that we could just, talk about this all day long, but unfortunately our time has come to an end. But thank you so much. I'm so glad that you felt inspired and that you shared your lessons. And, you know, just a nod to the fact that you have some longevity now with, you know, not just cancer, but with MBC. And that's hugely hopeful for other people to get to witness too through you. So thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable.
Thanks so much for having me. And I'm just eternally grateful to Wildfire for just helping me process through some things that I just had no other outlet for. I mean, before I found Wildfire, I didn't even know a single person with NBC. And then to find a whole community of people my age and, you know, who had been through similar things, it's been one of the absolute most healing things in this 5 years for me. And so I just am so, so grateful, and I'm thrilled to be here. And thanks so much for the privilege of getting to write with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes both ways, Kelly. I love writing with you. So speaking about, you know, finding others and connections, are you open to more followers on Instagram? Are you willing to share your handle?
Sure. Yeah. My Instagram is just my name at Kelly E. Franks. I've got a lot of E's in my name, Kelleye Franks. I don't post a whole lot, but I really love following other people. And, you know, I'm happy to have other people join.
Excellent. Well, we'll be sure to tag you. And those of you listening, if you got a lot of value out of today's conversation, please do share it with your friends and family. You can tag Kelly and Wildfire. I'm Wildfire_BC_magazine on Instagram. And you can share this episode wherever you listen. So Kelly, thanks again for being here with me and reading Fearless. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
So you guys, you can read this piece in the 2023 MBC issue Lessons Learned. We've sold out now of the print copies, but we always have the digital copies available for you. And with that, I'm April Stearns, and you've been listening to The Burn. The Burn is a production of Wildfire Magazine, where we share breast cancer stories from young people like you've never read or heard before. We also strive to inspire you to write your story like you've never written it before. Stay to the end for a writing prompt inspired by today's conversation. Our producer is Bill Smith of Shoe Production, and our production assistant is Monica Haro. If you want more on the life-changing transformation to be had from telling your breast cancer stories, please visit us at wildfirecommunity.org. You'll find a copy of the issue shared in today's episode, all of our archives, and you can take a writing workshop with me. There's no place on the planet like a wildfire writing workshop, and I want you to experience it for yourself. Discover how to write your way back to yourself, write your way to reclaiming your body and your story, and don't forget to subscribe to The Burn and listen to it wherever you go. All right, here is your writing prompt. I want you to set your timer for 8 minutes, write without stopping. The prompt is the story behind the picture. So I want you to pick a picture of you and write the story that was happening around the lens, behind the lens, what led up to the picture being taken. What is that story? Today we heard from Kelly and her picture from the Eras Tour. I want to hear your story. So pick a photo and tell the story. Again, write without stopping. See what needs to come out and where it will take you. And if you find that you write best with a good writing prompt, I've got tons more for you over at wildfirecommunity.org/free. Happy writing. Thanks for listening. Until next time, take good care.